Friday and Saturday, August 31st and September 1st, the Sneed family will be hosting the annual Gospel Fest at Loretta Lynn's Ranch, where country meets gospel. A weekend full of family, friends, and music with the best artist in Southern Gospel, featuring Triumphant, He's a Chainbreaker, Karen Peck and New River, Jeff and Sherry Easter, The Perrys, Primitive Quartet, Hyro, the Easter Brothers, Mike Snyder from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, and many more. This year's special guest, Shenandoah.
Good news travels fast.
See the full lineup and order tickets at SneedFamily.com. Bring your instruments and join in on a special sing-along. The best in Southern Gospel at Loretta Lynn's Ranch, Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Friday and Saturday, August 31st and September 1st. This is an event you don't want to miss. Learn more at SneedFamily.com. That's SneedFamily.com for tickets and information.
Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
I'm sitting there one day, and I get a phone call from Elton Spock. Says, Becky, I need to borrow your car. He was in town, somebody, and the bus was somewhere up. I want to borrow your car. I said, okay, come by and pick it up. He came by, picked up my car, left and did his thing. He came back, brought my keys back, said, here's your car. Now, this is the week of the National Quartet Convention. So, he brings my car back. About 3 minutes later, the doorbell rings. He said, I need your keys. I said, for what? He said, I've got to be on stage in about 2 hours, and my toupee is in your glove compartment.
I can believe that.
Becky Simmons is one of the most professional booking agencies that I've ever dealt with. It's always good to deal with Becky because she's just straight and fair with you. She'll suggest artists to you, and if you don't book them, she understands. You know, there's some groups that'll draw in some areas that won't. She's all the time working for her groups. She's one of the classiest ladies in gospel music. I think the world of Becky. We've been working together now, over 40 years.
Wow.
We've been going 46 years, and she was there from almost day one with me. Back when, I believe it was called Century 2 Promotions, I believe it was back then. But I love Becky Simmons. She's not only an agency, she's a good friend, a very dear friend. We'll call each other, and we'll just talk about the weather. We'll talk about things in general. But when you get somebody like Becky Simmons on your side helping you with your concerts, you can't ask for no more.
That's Paul Belcher, great promoter up in East Tennessee, talking about his experience with Miss Becky Simmons, our special guest on today's SGNP.
So what's wrong with living right anyway? Hey, I'm Karen Peck Gooch from New River, and you're listening to SGNP.
And welcome to SGNP. Darren Sutherland here with my co-host up in Sevierville, Tennessee, as always, Arthur Rice. Arthur, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing great. Beautiful day.
You know what? One of these days, I'm going to ask you, Arthur, how are you doing? And you're not going to say, doing great, beautiful day. You're going to say, golly, it's awful. I had a car wreck this morning or something's going on. You know, you can't be perfect all the time. Of course, you are in the land of enchantment, Dollywood, so to speak. So
That's right. Fantasy land.
There you go. It's almost as good as Disney World. It is a Disney World for us country folks, so to speak.
That's right.
Folks that love the mountains. Today, Arthur, we got a special guest. And I always like guests like this because these are the people that's behind the veil, so to speak, that most people, your average fan, will never know their name. But let me just give you a little stats. Can I for just a minute, Arthur? We were talking about this before we went on the line. This lady books on average of 22 groups or individuals at any given time. If you did the math and said, let's perform 45 weeks a year, three nights a week, that's a lot of singings. To about 200 people on your average show, that's about 13,200 people a week. Now, you take that number and you multiply it by the 45 a year, you're up to 594,000 people a year that hear the gospel. Now, let's take that 594, and I learned a long time ago you don't mention age or time frame because that's just rude. But just let's say she's been a professional doing it for 30 years. Arthur, that's 17,820,000 people that have heard the gospel music through song or through the word because this lady or one of her assistants answered the phone and placed that group or individual in that location for somebody to hear the good news of the gospel. That's pretty impactful, don't you think, Arthur?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, the booking agent is really just as important to a ministry as any other individual in the group. It really is. I mean, you've got to have somebody that puts you in the venues, in the churches, in the auditoriums. You have to have somebody to do that. And they're just as important as anybody.
On the line with us today from up in Nashville, Tennessee area. Did I give you a good enough introduction, Miss Becky Simmons?
One that I did not deserve. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Arthur. So good to talk to you all.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on with us. And, you know, you've done a good job for so long dealing with, you know, back in the day. I got to tell this story, Arthur. Back in the day, I'm 48 years old now. Back in the day, I guess I was 16 or 17 years old the first time I ever talked to Becky. And Becky, I don't remember the first group I booked with you right off the top of my hat, but there were a lot of them. There were a lot of them. And you've always had I just call it like it is, a stable of great groups. What do you attribute that to, do you believe?
You know, God has blessed me so much beyond measure. I think it's my love for the music. I'm number one, a fan, first of all. And I just think God put that calling in my heart. And it's just there, and I love doing it. I mean, it's second nature to me now.
When you say second nature, is that because... Let me clear that real quick. Now, what people don't, I think, understand about booking agents in gospel music, which is different than any other form of music, is, Becky, you don't only serve a lot of times as a booking agent, but you're a quasi-manager a lot of times and a PR rep and everything else for a lot of these groups, even though some have their own. You serve as that for a lot of these folks. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, I mean, don't you?
Absolutely, and I do admit it. I mean, I love it all. I mean, I have thought several times I would have made a great manager. I could manage a group because, you know, I enjoy that part of it. I didn't get, you know, I experienced that a few years ago with a couple groups, you know, when I used to work a lot with younger groups starting out. And I love that part of it, too. That's why I say that it's second nature. It's not, I don't do just one thing. I mean, my company does so much more than just book dates.
Do you think you're kind of a little bit like me, Becky, and ADHD, and that's why you got 22, 24, 15 things going at one time, because you just wouldn't be happy doing one general little thing, but you like your hand in everything?
Well, I think that's true, but I also think I have my hand in all those things because it became a necessity.
Yeah.
So you start doing one thing, and a group needs something. Okay, say, okay, I'll do that for them. They need something else. Oh, I'll do that for them. Then you have this idea, oh, I'll do this. And before you know it, you're doing 10 things.
it adds up quickly, doesn't it?
It adds up quickly, and before you realize that you're doing all these things, not realize, I mean, it didn't start out that way, but it ended that way. You know, growing up, I was a preacher's kid, so
yeah.
I always thought I'd make a great preacher's wife. I thought that's what I would be. My dad was a preacher, my uncle, my brother's he's a pastor. So I thought I just would be a preacher's wife. And somehow I got into working with Southern Gospel Music, and I said to this promoter one day, when I was young and green at this, and I said, I don't know why God didn't make me a preacher's wife. I would have been a great one. He said, how can you say that? You're a preacher's wife to these artists. And I thought, you know, he's right. And I've never questioned it since.
Nice. Where are you from originally, Becky?
I was born in Combs, Kentucky, in the mountains. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, originally.
Okay.
In fact, I moved from Louisville to Nashville.
Nice. Now, did you grow up around Southern gospel music? You said your daddy was a preacher.
No, I did not. That's what makes my story so great, I think.
Yeah.
I was born in a church basement. My brother was born in a church basement. My dad went to Lee College. They called it college back then. Now it's Lee University.
Right.
But it was his first church. Of course, you know, the first churches, you know, their first pastor, sometimes they, you know, they put you in a small church. You're in a small church in the mountains in Columbus, Kentucky, lived in the church basement. Well, I was born in the church basement. Then we moved a year later to Vico, Kentucky, where my brother was born. We're 14 months apart. And he was born in the church basement. Now, my dad was a nightclub performer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a musician. Well, my uncle took him to church because my uncle got saved. So he took my dad and my mom to church, and they got saved. So they both went to Bible college together. And so I've been involved in church literally all of my life. And that's why I said I'd just be a preacher. So, I mean, we had a TV program. My dad was on radio every day. We had a printing press. I mean, he was very ambitious, energetic, and we just did all these things.
Fun.
And so I just thought that's what I would be. Well, I went to my first Southern Gospel concert.
Who was that with? Do you remember?
What, my first concert?
Yeah, yeah. Who'd you say? Do you recall?
I'll never forget it because I was in my early 20s. Had never been to a Southern Gospel concert. We always had great music in our church, so we never had, you know, Southern Gospel artists in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. Well, I played organ and piano in church, mostly the organ as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was doing a 30-minute radio show on a Southern Gospel station. Every Saturday morning, I would go to the station and do this 30-minute show. Well, I get a call one day from the manager at the radio station and said, will you go play 30 minutes of organ music before a concert starts? And it was in Louisville, Kentucky. I said, sure, I'll go do it. So I did my 30 minutes pre-opening. I planned to leave, and all of a sudden this music started. It was the Oak Ridge Boys, J.D. Summer and the Stamps, the Rambos, and the Downings.
Well, at least you picked a good concert to go to.
I was.
Wow.
I had never heard such incredible music in all my life. And, you know, the songs, the words. And so I'm just the biggest fan and have been ever since.
Fun. Hey, let's take a break right here. We got to pay some bills. And we'll be back with Becky Simmons with BSA World, one of the premier booking agents in all the world of gospel music, right here on SGNP.
Greg Fox of the Kingsmen. And Becky, I heard what you said about Dad, and you know what? You're exactly right. He wouldn't do one. He wouldn't go around the block without that toupee or a ball cap on. That's too funny. I cherish that story. But let me tell you folks something about Becky. If it wasn't for Becky Simmons, I don't think the Kingsmen would have ever advanced past the regional group. And she treated myself and all the other fellas and Dad just like a bunch of kings. And for a bunch of hillbillies to be treated that way, she meant the world to us.
Hey, cousins, this is your pal, Country Radio Hall of Fame DJ Moby, and you're listening to my buddy Darren Sutherland on SGNP.
Yeah, baby.
You know, when we started this podcast, we never dreamed it would grow and things would happen like that. So we got us a sponsor of the show, MyPillow, one of the sponsors that have helped. And MyPillow's doing a great job. Not only did they send me a premium pillow, which we could try, I took it with me when we went to Philadelphia a few weeks ago in the truck, and Jonathan, my producer, was in the truck, and Jonathan sleeps at the drop of a hat. And Jonathan, you laid your head onto my pillow and went to sleep, didn't you?
I did.
And did you wake up?
I did wake up.
When? When I slammed on the brakes to scare you.
That's right.
That's right. So that's the only thing that woke him up was me slamming on the brakes. You want a MyPillow? They got a great four-pack offer right now. 50% off two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows comes with it. A great offer. Four-pack offer. 50% off two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Call them today. 1-800-338-2330. That's 1-800-338-2330. Use the code SGNP. Again, that's SGNP. Christmas is coming. Order your pillows now for folks. Support gospel music and support SGNP. Or as always, you can go to their website, MyPillow.com, but always enter the code SGNP. Jonathan, did you sleep better on a MyPillow?
I certainly did.
Do you hope they send you one?
I would love one.
There we go.
Now, here's our announcer, and that's the statesman's leader.
What's that name?
Hobie Lister.
And thy crisper, flakier cracker, boys. What's that name?
Premium Saltine.
Ah, you said it, so let's sing it now.
They're better baked and better wrapped.
Premium Saltine.
Nabisco's crackers in the inner sealed pack.
Premium Saltine.
Well, you heard the music. You heard Hobie and the guys singing about saltine crackers. On the line with us, our historian from up there in that baseball town without a baseball team this year, St. Louis, Missouri. Or Metro St. Louis. Is it okay to say y'all don't have a baseball team down there this year, Jeff?
I don't know. we're picking it up lately, so.
Jeff Turner, my good friend and historian for SGNP, is with us. You know, Jeff, y'all are picking it up, but, you know, my Braves, we're 3.5 games in front right now. So we may make a run before it's all said and done. But we ain't here to talk about baseball. We're here to talk about, even though it is God's sport, we're here to talk about, and some Georgia Bulldog fans will disagree with me on that, but we're here to talk about gospel music history, and nobody knows it better than my buddy Jeff, or if they know it better, Jeff will go find out from them and tell us what it is. So how you doing again, man?
Great, doing good.
Talking to Becky Simmons today, one of the, you know, we figured this out. We did some math. Do you realize if we just count 30 years, and it's probably been like more like 40 she's been in the business, but 30 years, just booking talent, her groups have probably sang to more than 17 million folks. If you just average, on average, 200 people at each concert, multiplied by 22 groups, multiplied by 45 weekends a year. In 30 years, that's 17 million. So if we added more to it, that'd probably be about 20 million people she's affected in one way or another. You've done a little research on gospel music booking agents. Tell us a little bit about it, Joe.
Well, to start out, you know, last week we talked about J.D. Sumner being an innovator in gospel music, and a gentleman by the name of Don Light, not many people know, might have heard his name, but don't know much about him. He started the first talent agency in gospel music in 1965, and actually he was the first co-founder of the Gospel Music Association in 1964, which the Gospel Music Association was, the whole concept of it was to provide a network for artists, radio stations, promoters, to give them an avenue to coordinate the promotion of gospel music. So he's the one that came up with that idea also, which is still going on today,
yeah,
as we know.
I believe before you told me he was once also the drummer for the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes, he was. As a matter of fact, he starred in the Grand Ole Opry House Band in 1961 and then later on became the first drummer for the Oak Ridge Boys.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, this all ties together because the late Herman Harper, father of Jeff and Ed Harper, who have another booking agency in Nashville, Harper Agency, he was in the Oak Ridge Boys as a singer and left and went to work for Don Light in that booking agency, did he not?
That's exactly right. In 1968, Herman Harper, who was a longtime bass singer for the Oak Ridge Boys, he got tired of life on the road, wanted to come off the road, so he left the group and joined Don Light Talent Agency as a booking agent. And shortly thereafter, he established himself in the business, so he started his own company, the Harper Agency, which is still operated by Ed and Jeff Harper. And I believe this might be their 50th year anniversary this year.
Yeah, Ed and Jeff are good friends. I talk to Jeff quite frequently, and we've actually booked some of our Kia concert series through Jeff in the past year, you know, with the McCameys, and had a good time with that one night. So anyway, Jeff, if we go to your Facebook page, Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures, what are we going to see? You've posted some cool pictures here recently.
Oh, well, I have to go back and look.
We got
to
go back and look. So, hey, why don't we just encourage everybody to go to Southern Gospel Pictures? How's it? You tell everybody where to go, my friend. How about that?
Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures. We'd love to have you. We got just over 8,000 members in about a year and a half, and the site's doing real well, and people seem to be enjoying all the pictures. So we encourage you to join us, and I think there's a lot of content there you'll enjoy seeing.
And then you got the video site now you just started. Tell them about that.
We do. If videos are your thing, we've got vintage videos on there. So if you like pictures, you can go to one page and then videos on the other page. So we encourage you to join both groups and enjoy the content.
There you go. And if you ever just want to get rid of your pictures, they can always contact you through that page, and you'll be happy to oblige them. Will you not?
Absolutely. And that's the way I've gotten a lot of my pictures is through people wanting, not knowing what to do with them. And please don't throw them away. Please don't do that. Contact me, and we'll get them on the page.
All righty, my friend. Jeff, we appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week. All righty?
All right, Darren. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is Super Saturday for a snack.
Premium saltine.
Nabisco's crackers in the inner silk pack.
Premium saltine.
And welcome back to SGNP. Darren Sutherland, my co-host Arthur Rice, and our special guest today on the line in Nashville, Tennessee, Becky Simmons, BSA World. Becky, you was just talking about your first concert and J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, the Oak Ridge Boys, the Downings, and what a fun night that was, and how you got hooked. Well, the next thing you know, you're booking groups, and you're doing all that good stuff, and then you started your own agency, BSA World, and you went through, I mean, you've booked tons of groups over the years. How many groups do you think you've booked over time? Do you keep a roll, or do you keep a picture in your office of these are some that's been with me for this amount of time? Because, you know, just like people change grocery stores, they change our booking agents and what have you. But do you keep a list by chance?
No, I don't. And I couldn't even tell you a number. I know the first group I ever booked was Naomi and the Seagulls.
Don't you love Naomi?
That was the first group. The second group was the Kingsmen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, God's just blessed me ever since.
When you book the Kingsman, now, we've talked about him on about every show because his handprint was so strong in gospel music. What was the businessman Eldridge Fox like to deal with?
Eldridge Fox was incredible. He was very down to earth, very honest, very hardworking, very creative. Eldridge brought me Gold City.
Yeah.
And several artists.
King's Gold, you did that with those guys?
Yes, King's Gold. Yeah, I helped. We came up with that idea. Mm-hmm.
Fun. Here's a fun question. I've got a rule that I've put personally in my life. Arthur, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I try to stay away from getting to know a group personally that I really, really love, okay? It's just a weird rule, okay? Becky, has there ever been a group that you've been such a fan of that you've just kind of kept your distance because you thought, man, they're just great, or are they all just your babies? I mean, does that make any sense, what I'm saying?
Well, there's a couple of groups now that I stay away from because of past experiences. I probably shouldn't say that, but it's the truth. But no, every group I've ever booked, I've gotten to know personally. I love all of them. I mean, and their songs have ministered to me. There's been, you know, real hard times in my life that, you know, what's gotten me through is a song.
Yeah.
And it's usually a group that I was booking at that time.
Yeah. I can remember, and you talk about that, and I don't mind sharing this with you because it's one of the groups you booked. But one of the darkest periods in my own life personally, I was doing a concert. It was, I guess I was 25, 26 years old, and Jeff Easter sat down with me and told me his story. And to this day, that story, Jeff don't remember this, I'm sure, but Jeff's story helped me through that trying time in my life. So you being a confidant, a booking agent, how often do you talk to these people a week? I mean, and I'm sure when you're on the phone with them, you talk to them more than just about the dates and what's going on. Isn't that the truth?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I talk to, again, depending on the artist, Jeff and Cherry, I talk to sometimes 3 to 5, 6 times a week.
Wow.
You know, and again, depending on, what'd you say, Arthur?
It becomes family.
Oh, it is family. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Becky, what do you... Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know recently my husband went through... he went through a healing. I mean, we got right to the doctor's... I mean, to the hospital. He was 20 minutes away from the surgery table.
Wow.
And the doctor... They called me up to the room, and I'm getting off the elevator. The doctor's walking towards me, and he said, I canceled the surgery. I said, you did what? He said, I canceled the surgery. I said, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. We've waited too long for this. And he said, I refuse to operate on anybody who doesn't need surgery. And I walked away, and he said, call my office and make an appointment in 3 weeks to do a follow-up. He walked away, left me standing there with my mouth wide open, and I go into my husband's room, and he's getting his clothes on, and we're leaving. I took him in there in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
We left. He walked out.
Wow.
So about 3 days later, I called Aaron Wilburn. I said, Aaron, I now know what 4 days late means.
Yeah.
And again, it was a song that ministered to me. I mean, I can tell story after story after story that it's been a song. You know, my son had a car wreck.
Yeah.
Karen Peck's song got me through that. I took a tape. At that time, a tape player put those earphones in his ears and made him listen to that song over and over and over again. I mean, I could tell story after story after story. And it's always a song, and it's a group that I represent at that time, so I know God put them in my life at least for a season.
No doubt. Understood. Hey, when you talk about, we were talking about the good times of the songs. Let's talk about, for instance, the promoters, for instance. There's some great promoters in this country. They have a hard, hard job. But sometimes promoters expect unrealistic things, okay? Now, I know myself, I'm a pretty, I want to say a good negotiator, but at the same time, I can be a bully. What do you do to those promoters, Becky, that call you and just say things of a crazy nature? And I don't mind picking it out because I know they do it. Well, God told me to call you because so-and-so, one of your groups, was going to come here for a love offering. And if they're singing for the Lord, then they ought to be doing it for the Lord, not for a money price. You've heard that before or heard something similar to that, I'm sure. And you have to be a buffer a lot of times for these groups. What do you say to these folks? Because they do it. We know they do it.
Well, and they used to do it a whole lot more years ago when I first started.
Yeah.
You know, back when I first started, we were just issuing contracts, and, you know, they were used to handshake and, you know, not dealing with an agency that much, especially churches and pastors.
Yeah.
Well, what helped me was my experience as a preacher's kid, because my dad was a pastor.
Yeah.
So I could talk to them as a pastor. Look, you get a salary. You know what you're going to get paid. You get a housing allowance. You have a house. You have a car. You have this. You have that. I mean, I've lived that life. I know the life of a pastor. And, so, you know, this is all this group does for a living.
Yeah.
They deserve and depend on you and your people for their living. I mean, God always supplies it. I don't like to book love offerings. I don't think a church should expect a group to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to offend a few people, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you can't expect a group with a bus and 5 to 7 to 8 people to come on a love offering. I mean, a church should budget and have some set aside to have group.
I'm going to ask you the magic.
They should sell tickets. They should do something.
Yep.
Some pastors tell me, I don't believe in selling tickets in a church. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? As long as it's not a church night, what's wrong with selling tickets? You have a building.
Yeah.
You know, you present Jesus to your community. This is another way of preaching a sermon. It's just through a song.
No doubt. Becky, what does it take to keep a bus on the road a week, you think?
A good booking agency. But you're probably wanting no money, right?
Yeah, money-wise, what's it cost? I mean, just this is a very average, because people got different kind of buses and people have different kind of travel schedules and there's different levels of groups. Let's just say that. But for the average group out there, what are we looking at keeping a bus on the road?
And I probably should know that, Darren, but I don't.
Okay.
And here's the reason I don't know that.
Okay.
The groups that I work with as a booking agency, I've asked them what their budget is for the week.
Gotcha.
You know, just like people make a salary, they know what they have to have a week.
Mm-hmm.
I ask every group, what is your budget for the week? You average it out. You tell me what you have to have per week. And that's what we try to do. Of course, we try to exceed it, but I know we have to meet that budget every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I do it.
Gotcha. Arthur?
Well, it's pretty easy to figure out. The bus is the highest paid member of the group, I can tell you that.
Yes, most artists live for bus. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those necessary evils. You got to have something to travel this a lot of miles. You know, most groups travel probably 1,500 miles a weekend, at least. That's easy to figure out. You know, your fuel is $3 and what, $3.25?
Something like that.
And it's easy to figure out. The bus gets about 7 or 8 miles a gallon. And then, you know, if you've got the bus payment, you know, most of the buses are expensive. You know, you probably got at least $500 a day in just in bus expenses. That don't even include
we'll just quit praying for buses and we'll start praying for airplanes like Mr. Gaither flies around. How about that? Would that be all right with y'all?
That's a whole other.
Hey, Becky, let's have some fun right real quick. Arthur, let's lighten it up and have some fun. I'm going to name somebody or a group, and you tell me the first thing that comes into your mind. Are you ready?
Let's try it.
I love the hesitation in that.
Jeff and Sherry Easter.
Beautiful people.
Crab family.
Talented.
Jonathan Wilburn.
A sweetheart.
Arthur, you want to ask her anybody?
Kingsman.
One of my favorites.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of Crab Family,
yeah.
I've been with them since they started.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible journey.
How did that start? I mean, I know it, but from your perspective, I mean, I saw how it started, but tell the folks, you know the inside. Tell the folks, Becky, if you don't mind.
Well, Kathy tells the story. She met Gerald Crab and he had a trunk full of songs, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, they ended up getting married and they kind of put the group together and the kids started singing. And of course, you know, as each child got older, they came aboard. And I'll never forget when I first heard about them, several people called me and said, asked if I booked the Crab Family. And I said, no, I don't have time. I don't know them. And finally, Kathy called me one day, and she would just keep calling me and asking me to help them with dates. I'd give her a few leads or, you know, call somebody and say, I'll never forget the first time that I went to see them. She said, I need this date in Alabama. Can you help me? I called a promoter and said, will you give the Crab Family 20 minutes on a concert?
Yeah.
He said, sure. Well, I went to see them, and I was blown away, you know, but, and And I helped them probably for a year, just behind the scenes. And one day Kathy called me up and she said, will you book the crab family? I said, Kathy, I don't have time. I can't do it. And she called me about a week later. She said, do you have time to answer your phone? I said, I answer every phone call and return every phone call. She said, okay, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to make your phone ring if you will agree to book the crab family. I said, okay, I can do that. I can take calls. And I've booked them ever since. But it all, you know, again, it started with the songs.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids were talented, songs, hard work, you know, getting the right team together. It's, and of course, they're anointed, so it's a God thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it?
And now you've got five different ministries.
Yeah.
You know, from that one family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still got your hands full with a lot of those. So, hey. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, Jeff and Sherry Easter, you know, they've been, I mean, from day one. I'll never forget when I started booking them, the record company called and said, will you book them? I said, I don't know anything about bluegrass. And they said, will you try? And I said, no, I don't know anything about bluegrass. They kept calling me, and finally I said, okay, I'll do it. Well, about, I joined every bluegrass organization, subscribed to magazines, and I was a total failure. So I called the record company back. I said, look, I can't do this. I'm not successful at it. You know, you've got to get somebody else to help them. And Norman Holland, I'll never forget, he said, well, have you seen them or heard them? I said, no. I mean, I've just heard the recording. He said, well, I'm going to set a I'll set up a showcase for you to go hear them and see them. I said, okay. I went to see him, and I said, I was so excited. I said, oh, I can do this. This is just Southern gospel music with a twist.
There you go.
And I've been booking them ever since.
Who's the biggest?
Well, they weren't really true bluegrass.
No.
Which, I like that music. I just didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Didn't know the people, you know. I just didn't know.
Has there ever been anybody that just surprised you? That just, you were just shocked and flabbergasted once you heard them or once you saw them that you can think of off the top of your head?
I love them all. I tell you, at the very first concert I went to, I told you it was Oak Ridge,
yeah.
Shady Summer Stamps, Rambos. And the Downings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Downings was my very favorite group.
Wow. I'm sure.
Yeah, I love that mixed sound. I mean, I love their music.
I'm sure Miss Ann would love hearing you say that. We'll make sure she hears that. Becky, where do we go? You've seen gospel music change. You've seen the sound change. You've seen the travel schedules change. You've seen Sunday nights disappear in a lot of areas. Where are we going to see the growth? Where are we going to see where do we see in gospel music? And because gospel music, and for everybody that say, oh, gospel music's dying off, it's not dying off. All you got to do is look at our numbers on downloads on how many people's listening to this show. They're craving it. But where do we see? Where, I mean, you see it firsthand. Where are we going in the next 10, 15, 20 years? I mean,
Darren, I've heard people say our music is dying for the last 30 years. It is not dying.
Right.
It's stronger than ever. Our crowds are growing. Our age group is getting younger,
mm-hmm.
which I have preached that for years, and I'm so excited about that. I mean, I just think it's going to broaden. It's going to be, and believe you me, I love quartet music. I love, love, love it. There's nothing better than a bass singer and a tenor singer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of these mixed groups, some of these duets, I mean, it's going to broaden just like other forms of music have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only going to grow.
Yeah. Let's
and
just,
it is growing.
Let's just face it. As great as the Statesmen and the Blackwoods were back in their day, would they be hard to book in today's time, Becky, if they sang exactly the same way they sang in the 50s and 60s right now? They'd be kind of tough.
I think they would but, I mean, I think they would have their place in their fans. But
yeah.
Yes, I mean, music grows and times change a little bit. Although the basics stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No doubt.
You know, the words, the music, the story, the message—it all stays the same.
All right.
I'm glad we're appealing to a younger audience these days. I mean, that makes me happy.
I've got to give you an out on this next question, okay? And it's the last one I'll ask you because you're busy and I know you got to go. And before your phone rings, 5 million times up there at BSA World this week after people hear this interview and say, I want Becky Simmons to book my group. How does BSA World choose, or not choose, but take groups under assignment to book them? What's kind of the method that you guys look at?
Well, the way I looked at it several years ago and the way I look at it now, I look at it two different ways.
Okay.
Usually I love to take a new group, work with them. Today, they have to have some kind of demand, some kind of exposure. I don't have the time to help manage or create anymore. I love that. I used to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So now there has to be some kind of demand. There has to be some hit songs. There has to be something there. Although I say that, but on the other hand, I'm always going to have one or two struggling artists that I'm going to help.
Yep.
I think, you know, that's God's word. That's what we're supposed to do, is help people. So I'm always going to be helping somebody.
Well,
yeah. I get away from that.
I know from personal knowledge some of the folks you've helped, like my buddy Aaron Chrysler and Earl Galloway through the years, and a lot of other people. And Becky, you've touched a lot of people's lives, including my own, and including those 17 plus million people that have never maybe heard your name, but because you thought enough to send a group to Paducah, Kentucky, or send a group to Des Moines, Iowa, or Moline, Illinois, or Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they got to hear a group sing gospel music and fall in love with it like you did in Louisville, Kentucky years ago. And if nobody never tells you thank you, let me tell you thank you. Easy enough?
Thank you, Darren. I appreciate that. But I feel like every group that gets out there and sings a song, that I'm a part of their ministry. And to me, this is a ministry. Somebody said, are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? I'm like, what? What's that? You know, this is a calling to me. It's a ministry. So I'm always going to do it.
Is it fun?
There's no greater joy in my life than answering this phone and booking a date.
I got to throw this one out there at you. Okay? I got to throw this one out there. And Arthur, okay. Arthur, you can throw one more out there if you need to.
Okay.
You got one memory, Becky, of booking a group. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hung up the phone and you said, wow, I just put so-and-so, so-and-so, and this is going to be great?
I will tell you something real recent. I've had a lot of those memories, you know, proud of booking a big date or an artist on a great show or booking them on the Opry or something like that. But the last 2 weeks, I've had 3 calls and booked 3 dates. In 1 week, I had 2 calls for people, a young man's wife, she's in her late 20s, needs a double lung transplant. 2 days later, I get a call from a lady that her daughter-in-law needs a double lung transplant. They don't have the money. They have to raise money to even be put on the list. So they want to have a concert to raise money for their family members. Another one. Last week, a volunteer fire department, a lady calls me and says, our fire department needs equipment, and we can't get it. I'm going to have a concert and raise money. First thing question, how much money you need to raise? So in the last 2 weeks, there's 3 fundraisers these people are doing, and they're going to raise money, and they're going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a part of helping them and teaching them how to have a fundraiser and how to raise this money.
Awesome.
So those are the memories I cherish.
Awesome. Awesome. Arthur, you got anything else, my friend?
Oh, I just appreciate Becky so much. She just, you know, she was booking the Kingsmen when I first started, and she was so kind to me, and I've loved her for a long time. And I just appreciate all her encouragement through the years, and I know to all these groups that have, she has been such a blessing too. And like I said before, she is a part of every one of them's ministry. And she won't know until she gets to heaven what an impact that she has been. And I really appreciate her.
All righty. Miss Becky, tell me, You know, we all hear these fun stories from these groups on the stage, and we don't get to hear the funny stories that happen behind the stage where these people are real people like me and you. They put their pants on just like we do, even though a lot of us look at them like they're the closest thing to Jesus they are. We all know they have struggles, but they have funny times. What's the one of the funny memories you've had from a group where you're sitting at home on a Saturday night, which is your day off, eating dinner, and the phone rings and it's so-and-so and says, Becky, you're not going to believe this. And I'm not talking about the promoter that didn't give them a check, okay?
I'm not going there. I'll write a book on that one.
I asked Hovey the same question one time back when I was on radio, and Hovey said, I'm not going there. I'll write a book on that one. And bless his heart, Hovey passed away without ever writing a book. So, anyway, tell me a funny story. Give me something. Give me something.
I can tell this now because Eldridge Fox is not with us anymore, but Eldridge Fox is one of my favorite people. Kingsman was one of my favorite groups. I mean, yeah. They just had fun. I had fun. Jim Hamill, all those guys, they were fun.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there one day, and I get a phone call from Eldridge Fox. Says, Becky, I need to borrow your car. He was in town. Somebody, and the bus was somewhere else. I want to borrow your car. I said, okay, come by and pick it up. He came by, picked up my car, left and did his thing. He came back, brought my keys back, said, here's your car. Now, this is the week of the National Quartet Convention. So he brings my car back, and about 3 minutes later, the doorbell rings. He said, I need your keys. I said, for what? He said, I've got to be on stage in about 2 hours, and my toupee is in your glove compartment.
I can believe that.
That's a true story.
that's hilarious.
Isn't that great? I know. And, you know, these groups are all fun. They all have fun.
Tell me the funniest thing you remember a group's told you about that's happened in a church that you're just sitting there shaking your head and said, God wasn't in that, but that was funny.
The funniest one?
Or the weirdest. I don't care. Anything.
Well.
You can tell it. Go ahead. You know what it is. You've already thought of it. Go ahead.
Ron Blackwood told me a story one time that they were on stage singing, and somebody hit him in the head with a microphone, and he passed out on the stage in the church.
That's
so
funny.
So he just passed out right there.
Yeah,
what else? What else funny can you tell us, Becky?
I can't tell most of what I know.
Yes,
Karen.
You can. That's what makes this.
And not.
Yes, you can. That's.
And this hasn't been that long ago. I was at Dollywood, and happened to get on a group's bus that was parked behind the theater. Came back home. I'm talking to Dollywood about booking groups the next year. And they said, I'm not going to book this certain group because... No, I'm not going to book this group. And I said, why? They didn't want to tell me. Finally, I insisted. And they finally did tell me. Because they had dumped their... What do you call it?
Waste.
They had dumped their waste there where the bus was parked. And I said, are you kidding me? You're not going to book the group because of that? No, we're not. So... I said, where was the bus parked? Now, I didn't accept that. I said, where was the bus parked? Tell me exactly where it was parked because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, it wasn't the group that I booked at all. It was the bus next to theirs. But somebody had assumed that it was this particular group. So anyway, they did book the group back, but they weren't going to book that group back because they dumped their waste in the parking lot.
Was it Arthur's group by chance?
No, it was not Arthur's group. Arthur knows better.
Arthur, do you know what group that was by chance?
I don't remember. I remember that happening, but I don't remember who it was.
That's funny. Y'all wouldn't tell me
I
if
do
you did.
That
y'all know better than that. Y'all
the message to that story is falsely accused and always ask questions.
That's funny. That is funny.
Yeah, that was great.
Can you think of anything else?
And I mean, speak along those lines. I have another group that I still book them.
Mm-hmm.
That a church won't have them back because the same thing happened. Only it wasn't in one spot. As they drove off the lot and were driving, it went down the property and down the road.
That's hilarious.
So that's, I don't even call that church for that group anymore.
Do you call it for any group?
Because that actually happened. It was the truth.
Funny.
It was by mistake, but it did happen.
That's funny. What's, let's see, can you tell us something without mentioning a group's name that has happened that you know about that you had to help clear up that it's funny?
You mean an incident?
Yeah.
Well, those kind of things aren't really funny. They're serious things that you have to fix.
Yeah.
Recently, probably about 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
this church had they're having the dedication of their new building. They had a group booked, and one of my groups booked, and I get a call a little bit like two or three weeks later. Somebody in the church had gone to see this group.
Mm-hmm.
And said they said some derogatory things from stage. Off color.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that does not sound like that group at all. I just find that hard to believe. And he said, well, it happened. It's true. So I'm going to cancel the group. So I called the group and I said, what did you say and what actually happened? Well, there was a story behind it and a reason for it, and it was not quite like the person told the pastor.
Yeah.
So the artist called the pastor and talked to them, and the artist explained to the pastor exactly what was said and the content that it was said in. And the pastor ended up calling me back, said, I talked to the artist. Great people, wonderful people. I can't wait to have them. I said, what? What happened? And after he heard the whole story, then he kept the group. And I said, are you sure? Because you can cancel them. It's okay. He said, no, I'm keeping them. And the date comes up next month.
Fun.
And it's in Alabama. So
I got a story. Now, I'm not putting this on the air, but I got a story, Becky, and you can confirm or deny it. You may know it. You may not. Arthur, this is kind of funny. And we won't waste each other's time sitting around here telling stories. Rome, Georgia, the mid-1900s, okay? 1990s, I mean, 1900s. Lord, make it sound like I'm an old man. Might have been late 1990s, okay? The New Hensons, Mike Bolan was still singing with them, if I'm not mistaken. And Bo and somebody else got in a fist fight behind the stage before the concert starts. Becky, you remember that?
I do remember that. I remember several of those stories.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, we won't talk about the band. We'll leave it. Thanks again to Becky Simmons with BSA World for coming on with us. If you want to find out more about the group she books, go to her website, BSAWorld.com, and check that out. Arthur, some interesting stuff. We probably stayed a little bit more serious than we normally do. And Becky's a funny person and a fun person, but at the same time, she's got an obligation to her groups, does she not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said before, you know, they're family. And, you become family over the years. And she's a sweetheart.
Well, she could write a book one day when it's all said and done, and it may be a bestseller, not only in the Southern gospel world, but probably as good as one of those Harlequin romances that you see that your grandmothers used to read. How many church ladies read those Harlequin romances is what I'm trying to figure out.
I'll tell you a few.
They picked them up when they went to the Kroger on the way home. Well,
as many watch the Hallmark Channel now.
You know what? Ain't that the truth? I can still remember, and Lord, we're on a gospel music show talking about Harlequin romances, but I can still remember one of the author's names of one of those books. It was Janet Daly. Don't ask me why I can remember that, because I've never read them. But my grandmother, who was a saint, had them stacked up in her house, you know? So, and these are the same ladies that come hear you sing night after night, Arthur. What about that?
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's been fun as usual, and we'll talk to you next week. Easy enough?
All right.
All right, buddy.
Good.
All right, be good. Bye-bye. All right. And as we go out to the Kia concert line, Darren Sutherland here, and we've got on the line with us up in Kentucky, but he's got a big concert this weekend in Hurricane Falls, Tennessee at Loretta Lynn's Ranch, Jeff Snead. Jeff, how you doing today, my friend?
I am doing awesome. How are you doing?
Doing good. You got something big going on out there at Loretta Lynn's Ranch. And let me say this to folks before they head out there, if they're thinking about heading out there. Loretta Lynn's Ranch is a neat place, Jeff, is it not?
It is awesome. It has several thousand acres there of campgrounds and camping and swimming and canoeing and horseback riding, museums, Western Town, you name it, it's going on there at the ranch.
Hey, man, I tell you what, it looks like if she wanted, she got her little own mini Disney World there in the mountains. It's a mountain Disney World. I think she's built anything there except a coal, one of them coal plants that her daddy worked in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's a great place. In fact, most people probably don't know this, but I think it's the second largest draw in Tennessee for tourism.
Wow.
So that's an awesome.
Wow. Hey, this week, big concert coming out there at her ranch, and you're calling it Country Meets Gospel, but it's Gospel Fest, and we know that. It all starts off Thursday night with a big sing-along, and we're on Friday because we're taping this before, and we don't want folks to think, well, they're going to be having a sing-along, but Friday nights you can go to the concert and sing along, and it starts at 4. You've got some great groups like Triumphant, our friend Josh Singletary, Karen Peck and New River, Jeff and Sherry Easter, Troy Burns, the Easter Brothers, and the Snead family. What should folks expect Friday night, my friend?
I tell you what, let me say this. The ranch is a magical place. Mm-hmm. Never been there, and you never know who can show up. Over the past, we've had the legendary Buck Rambo, Naomi Seago, different ones just show up and be a part, and the people can visit with those. So it's not only the artists that are planned on being there. You never know who will show up. You just never know. So it's going to be a great time of gospel music. We also have a talent search that will have taken place, and we'll be announcing the winner. We're giving 2 day win packages away. So we're going to see some new artists come along with the old. So it's going to be great on Friday night.
Yep. Then Saturday, you've got coming out the Primitive, the Perrys, the Freemans, New Ground with Mickey Bell, Tony Gore, my buddy, I hope he's doing well, High Ground, and the Steels. So my buddy Jeff Steele's going to be out there. Going to be a fun night. Fun night, no doubt, Saturday again.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's going to be cram-packed of things, and there's not going to be a lot of time between groups. We're going to be going one group right after another, and it's just, if people's never been to the ranch, it's a huge outdoor pavilion. You know, a lot of people say, what about the weather? Well, last year we encountered the leftover of a hurricane, and we were fine, and it's a huge pavilion with fans, and you feel like you're in a church house setting, but you're outdoors. And that's what's so awesome about it.
Fun. You know, the group that I would urge everybody to go out there and see, and I'm not picking one over the other, because just like you, they're all my friends, but it's High Ground. High Ground may be one of the best new groups that's came along in 10 years.
Yes, and we won't hold it against them that Mickey Bell's a part of that. Okay.
Yeah. Now that's New Ground. Now you're talking about New Ground. I'm talking about High Road. Excuse me. Why did I say High Ground?
Oh, High Road.
High Road. Lord, see, that's the great thing about being on a podcast. You can make a mess up and just keep going right on. Back when I was on radio, program directors would fuss at me about that. But High Road, that's who I'm talking about.
That's right. And I don't know if you named it or not, but Mike Snyder of the Grand Ole Opry is going to be there, comedian, banjo player.
Yes.
He's going to be there on Saturday, too.
Nice.
He's hilarious if people's not heard him on the Opry. I mean, it's a great opportunity. And then that's part of where gospel meets country.
That's right. And you got Shenandoah and Marty Rabin, who's got a great testimony appearing also Saturday night.
Wow. On that night at 8 o'clock, Shenandoah. And, you know, Marty has such a great testimony for the Lord. I've watched it on YouTube several times, and him and Mike are awesome. But a lot of people say, are they going to be singing all gospel? Well, you know what? It's sort of like Loretta. I love to hear her sing gospel, but I would hate to go hear Loretta without her singing Coal Miner's Daughter.
That's right.
The same way with Shenandoah. They're going to be singing their number one hit, because that's what we know them as. That's what they've been known known as, and that's what we want to hear.
And you want to hear saying, don't come around here drinking with loving on your mind, too, because, you know, we all got relatives who've done that. Let's just tell
it
like it is.
We all can relate.
That's
right.
We've
all got them in the coffee.
You know, it's folks, you know what? Don't be so, you know what? We all grew up with this. Well, they love the Lord just like we do. And guess what? I'm sure they've made their way to the altar because we all got the same way to go. Don't we, Jeff?
Ed, that's exactly right. And, you know, I've had to say, why are you mixing country and gospel? Well, you know, the country has been mixing gospel in all down through the years.
Yeah.
I mean, every artist in country music over the past several years has done gospel music somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And they have such an origin together of, you know, of sound. And, you know, I've always thought of country music, the old country music, it's just good people singing music about life, you know, and where we are singing about the Lord. A lot of people have different careers, and that's just their career, but it doesn't mean they love the Lord that they don't love the Lord because
Bingo.
They're singing country music.
Bingo.
You know, they can love the Lord and still sing country music.
That's right. That's right. Because guess what? If they're fat like me, they can still be obese and still love the Lord and be tearing up their temple.
That's right. I'm right there with you, brother. I can relate.
Jeff, we better shut up before we get in trouble and they vote us out, okay? So,
we're going to be in big trouble. And I would like to invite everybody for morning worship service on Sunday morning. We're having Brother David Green. A lot of people seen him on the Bill Gaither videos.
Yeah.
And that's free for the public. We'd love to have everybody come out and join us for worship service on Sunday morning at 10:30.
Real quick, how much are ticket prices?
Ticket prices are, they need to go to ticketstorm.com for all their prices on tickets, because the more they come to, the more discounts they get. That, we have different prices on general admission, reserved, gold seating. So there's any type of seating. You can bring your lawn chair if you want to. But we have over 1,000 seats available, you know, on the main floor. And then there's bleachers. And then there's room for lawn chairs. So those prices all vary. And they can find out that information at ticketstorm.com and come to any or all of everything going on this weekend.
Jeff, we appreciate your time, my friend. And let me ask the question we ask everybody when they come on SGNP. What's wrong with living right anyway, my friend?
And that's the truth. Nothing wrong with it at all, is there?
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, all right, boss?
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you all and what you're doing.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Tim Newton with SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. We would love to have your group uploaded on our concert calendar page. Just simply email me at tnewton@bgadgroup.com to have all your concert and events promoted on our concert calendar page. This will be a huge boost in promoting your concerts and special events. Don't wait. Email me now at tnewton@bgadgroup.com and take advantage of this great opportunity. And hey, remember, what's wrong with living right anyway?
Gospel music's largest annual event, the National Quartet Convention, is returning to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. See the Hoppers, Greater Vision, the Mark Trammell Quartet, Jim Brady Trio, Triumphant, Kingdom Airs, Ernie Hassan Signature Sound, The Isaacs, Jason Crabb, the Gaither Vocal Band, and many more of your favorites all in one amazing week, all in one amazing place, the LeConte Convention Center in Pigeon Forge. Plus showcases including the Singing News Fan Awards, Gaither Homecoming Celebration, and Gerald Wolf's Hymn Sing, and speakers Dr. Robert Jeffress and Dr. David Jeremiah. The National Quartet Convention. See the entire schedule, get travel info including vacation packages and hotel information, and get your seats now at NQCOnline.com. That's NQCOnline.com. Or call 1-800-846-8499. That's 1-800-846-8499 for the National Quartet Convention 2018 at the LeConte Center in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, September 23rd through 29th. NQCOnline.com.
Paul Belcher Concerts Battle of Songs returns to the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. with the Hoppers. The Triumphant Quartet. The Guardians.
Somebody pray.
And the Jordan Family Band.
My God is faithful.
Tickets on sale now. Call 800-745-3000 or at the Memorial Auditorium box office. The Hoppers, the Triumphant Quartet, the Guardians, and the Jordan Family Band. Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. at the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Get more details now at paulbelcherconcerts.com.
Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. And remember the Kia Summer Nights concert series, all 100% free, coming to a town near you. For more information on the concert series or to advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.